I'm Kenan Salinero with Reimagine Science, and I want to share a little bit about a preparation I made for a retreat that we had for a cohort of 13 individuals that included a facilitator and a tech support person for a project that we launched at the end of March. And it is a learning journey for training scientists to create the kind of scientists we will need to build the science of the future that is being called for society and for the planet right now. With this really amazing group of individuals from various institutions in various parts of science, I was thinking as I got ready for the 2 days and a Friday evening together, what I wanted to say about and how I was thinking about where science is right now and where it's been and where we're going. And I came up with 3 P's. The first P is around potential. And I'm going to share a bit about what I think about potential and potential in science right now. The second one is the popcorn popper model for what it's like to be in science and what it's like for scientists. And the third one is reparenting. So in the potential is that energy that gets stored up, a rock being pushed uphill until at the very top with enough stored potential, just a small tap and it will roll down. And that's potential energy. I was actually thinking more in terms of a balloon that increases in size. And in this case, because I was thinking about what I would call a little bit harshly, failed experiments. They're not failed, but I'll tell you why I was thinking those terms. More about something that is expanding the space and then contracting, and yet those outer limits create this larger container that really defines where we're at right now in my mind's eye. So these failed experiments are actually sunsetted experiments, and Reimagine Science in some ways has specialized in showcasing these because they are projects that have been done with great vigor and great fortitude and courage, and they've really been breaking new ground. The people that we know that have been involved in them have been passionate about the work that they did. They have loved what they learned. They have seen new horizons. They have been involved in things that they know make true difference. And when each of them has ended, it's been a great disappointment, a feeling of maybe one step forward, two steps back, a feeling that perhaps this thing that was so great is lost. It's no longer present. It's no longer with us. So let me talk about these projects and why I think they are still with us and what I think about that. So one of the first ones that we featured in our Science on Summit 2010 with Sam Bashirs from University of Illinois, Champaign-Urbana, was the Carnegie Initiative on the Doctorate. And this was 84 PhD granting departments around the country, a 5-year program where the departments undertook a self-study, a self-analysis, if you will, around how they were granting their PhDs, what their programs entailed, what the students were getting, was this fulfilling the purpose that they intended? How did everybody feel about it, in particular the students? There were about 7 chemistry departments: Duke, Howard, Ohio State, University of Colorado Boulder, Michigan, Texas, Austin, and Wisconsin-Madison. At least 2 neuroscience departments. Sam himself was from the neuroscience department at University of Illinois. And this program was fabulous. It produced 2 books, 2006, Envisioning the Future of Doctoral Education, 2008, The Formation of Scholars. And a great deal was learned in these 5 years of intensive hands-on self-inquiry. And yet what I've heard from people who were involved in the program, and even those who oversaw it, is that as students graduated, as those cohorts of PhD candidates moved through the department and were out into the world, that the lessons learned and the critical mass of thinking left with them and true long-term transformational change didn't seem to be captured. Another program like this, GK through 12, began in 1999. It was funded by the National Science Foundation. And when it was announced in 2011 that it would be sunsetted, I think it was a surprise and a shock to many. Again, a program that we featured in 2012 at our Science Zen Summit. And this program brought graduate students into local schools to be hands-on educators with the science teachers within the school system, to bring in that level of interest and fascination and just wonder of their own research, their own work, their own learning to children at these various ages and school levels. And it was just, if you watch some of the talks by the students that were involved, they loved it. They learned so much. They got so much energy and vigor, if you will, from those interactions with the students. And you can be sure that the students did too. IGERT, a flagship program, again, the National Science Foundation, that ran from 1998 to 2013. And in that program, it was around collaboration, interdisciplinary education, how to transform graduate education. And yet in a self-analysis or a survey at the end of the program, 81%, a full 81% of the principal investigators that were involved reported that the program did not, in their eyes, result in fundamental change in criteria for faculty promotion, tenure, merit awards, or advancement in their university or in other university departments that were involved in the IGERT program. So there's this feeling of building castles in the sand and the tide coming in and washing it away when all is said and done and the bow is put on the package. NAFC is another one, National Academy Future KECS Initiative, sunsetted after 15 years. The Collaborations of Consequence book, published in 2018, reports. It has a list of all of the scientists that were involved and artists. It was an integrated program to look at the interface between art and science and different departments and different disciplines and different interests to bring those people together and give seed money so that they could start off in totally new directions. And the experiments that were done and how the meetings were held and how they were hosted and how they were designed were really out of the box, progressive, bringing in a lot of design ideas and a lot of fun, the kind of fun that really helps support creativity and deep thinking. And so, though sunsetted, the potential is still present, wanting to move forward in the minds of those who were involved. The last one I'll mention is ELIS, Emerging Leaders in Science and Society. Melanie Roberts began this program with the support of AAAS and had several students at major universities who were involved in looking at their own leadership and how to integrate cross-sectional meetings for impact in stakeholder investigations. I was involved in one at Stanford that was looking at what would happen if there were a sudden crisis and how would the different government agencies be responding and how well coordinated was that and how much was it science informed and what about the general population and was there the trust that was needed. It was a really, really deep program that brought in individual thinking but at a leadership and a collaborative level, and also across many stakeholders. Sunsetted after a few years, and it was interesting that in that program, the idea was to bring in teamwork and collaboration, which was there, but for the most part, the observation was that students used it for development of individual leadership, for something that would be part of their own training expertise that would be a leg up, if you will, for their own advancement. So what about these programs? Well, what occurred to me is that even though they become really big, one of the people involved in IGERT had conveyed in a recent meeting that I was at with him that there's so much data, there's so much there that's not being tapped into, it's not even being shared. But I think that the space of the container that is created actually stays in those sort of outer limits. And it made me think of our own work and the work of the Presencing Institute out of MIT and Otto Scharmer. In that experiment that is ongoing, they launched an edX program so that individuals could sign up to take the ULab Theory U course and learn what the theory was and go through self-development. It's around self-development, self-awareness, various tools for really tapping into a deeper level of awareness and thinking and connecting. And I've been involved, and Reimagine Science has been involved since the first iteration. And I've been told that in the first iteration, with 60 or 70,000 people worldwide signing up, that what happened was it became what I will call a solopreneurship. So individuals were changed mightily. They had a big impact. But they often found that in the system they were in, it wasn't sufficient for them to be changed. It wasn't sufficient for them to have a grander vision or to see that things weren't working the way that they were set up right now. The system itself was too big, too unwieldy, too much populated by so many other ideas and intentions and values that what they did was they left the systems they were in. They went out, became freelancers, changed careers, changed trajectory, changed jobs. The second one was collaboration between the ULab and impact hubs around the world. And in that one, there was more of a group or cohort learning. That was 2015. And so what I'm seeing is, and my current theory for how change might work is, the individual wants change. All of the people that were involved in the Carnegie Initiative on the doctorate, IGERT, GK through 12, ELIS, NAFGI in particular, especially those who convened it, that they have seen something that has really changed them. And knowing that, they can't unknow it. Knowing that, they're drawn toward that further horizon. Knowing that, they want to see a world that has changed. They want to see a system of science that operates differently. They yearn for that inspiration, that collaboration, that intentional purpose of why are we doing this? What is the intended outcome? What is it we're looking for? So once you've changed the individual and that potential, you create a collective potential, a collective energy of the individuals that now actually have not only new tools, but a new awareness of what could be. And I think right now, with all of the impacts that we're at the effect of with COVID-19, with breakdowns that I think we're only beginning to see the level and the depth of them, with an unrest that says we won't take this anymore after George Floyd's death was so visibly seen and captured on a phone video and shared world round, that this collective energy for change has those inroads of the potential of these experiments that have begun sometimes over a decade ago. 2006, I was surprised at how long ago the Carnegie Initiative was actually. That potential and those tools and the awareness of the system, of yourself, of your place in it, of choice, that has created this big space, like a vacuum, that I'm hoping, I'm thinking, I'm believing that energy might flow into. That rock that has been so slowly moved up the hill might be where just a nudge can actually have it find its track. And I'm emotional because it's a really potent time right now. And I think that this energy is important. And I think the moment we're paused at is very important for the future of our children and their children, for the future of species on our planet, through all different levels of ecosystems, in terms of where we are as a society and as a species ourselves, as humanity. And so I hope that we realize this potential.